Let us begin with the prayer for illumination. Could we pray together, please? Gracious God, we come before you, and before we even hear this word, we ask that you would open our hands. We come with so little, whatever we carry here today. Take what we bring and take us with it. Speak now through your word that we might be fed before we even know we're hungry, and find again that your word is bread enough for everyone at this table. By your Spirit, open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our lives to be changed by what you say. Amen and amen. Today we'll be reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. You have a Bible in the pews in front of you, or you might read the verses behind me. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 14, starting with verse 13 through 21. We listen now for a word from God. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, and he cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the village and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing but 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And he said, "Then bring them here to me." And then he ordered the crowd to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke the loaves and he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over in broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, plus women and children. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I wonder if you've ever had such bad news that you simply had to get away by yourself, get away from everyone. When I was only 12 years old, I was with my dad when he suffered a cerebral aneurysm. He collapsed. He was completely unresponsive. And as they took him to the hospital, they took me to the family home, where family members had already started gathering there to support one another. When I got to the house and I was surrounded by all those people, I just couldn't take it. And I ran to the bathroom and I locked myself in. I just needed to be alone, needed to be away from them. And to understand why Jesus said this in the verse we read today, we need to turn to the first verses in chapter 14 and read the story. If you go to chapter 14, verse 1, you're going to read about why Jesus was so sad. His cousin, John the Baptizer, the man who baptized Jesus, had been taken by Herod and murdered. And Jesus had just received that word. And naturally, he needed to get away. He wanted to get away, and he tried to go to a deserted place. So he got on the boat and went across the water. But the people ran all the way around the lake. And by the time Jesus' boat got there, the people were there. He didn't have any chance to be by himself. And so when he saw all those people, what did he do? Scripture said he had compassion on them and he healed the sick. He put away his own grief and he healed them. Now, we find in Scripture at the very end of the day, they were hungry and beaten, tired, and the disciples said, "Lord, send these people away because they need to go to the village and buy some food." And what did Jesus say to the disciples? "They need not go away. Give them something to eat." And the disciples honestly were in a panic mode, wouldn't you? And they said, we have nothing here but five loaves and two fish. And Jesus said, then bring them here to me. Now, I've been part of church ever since I was a little bitty kid, and I have attended many potluck dinners. Anybody else? And many church-sponsored dinners. And every time there's a dinner, there's always at least one person standing in the back, wringing their hands, saying, we're never going to have enough food for everybody. Well, don't invite them all here. We can't eat them. What are we going to do? We're not going to have enough food. Every time. And that is our honest response as human beings, because we're trying to do it on our own. But that was not Jesus' response. Here's what Jesus did in 14 verse 19. One verse, four verbs, listen to them in the exact order. He took the five loaves and two fish. He looked up to heaven. He blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Taken, blessed, broken, given. Now, before anything else that could happen, before the blessing, before the breaking, before a single person could eat, somebody had to hand over what they had brought. And Jesus had to take it. Now, notice here that Matthew does not say that the loaves became sufficient before Jesus took them. He doesn't even solve the math problem first. Five loaves, two fish for a crowd that Matthew later numbered at 5,000 men plus women and children, which could mean up to 20,000 people. That's a great crowd. And by any honest accounting, that offer of five loaves and two fish is absolutely absurd. But this offer, once taken, really chosen by God, because somebody chose to act. And out of our paltry gifts, God creates abundance. We simply only have to offer what we have. So maybe we too sometimes look at what we have to offer and we say to Jesus, sorry, I can't give you. It's just not enough to even matter. Let's not forget these verses in describing not our abundance. They describe five loaves, two fish, offered anyway. Taken and then blessed. Verse 19b continues, taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and he blessed. Every Jewish person standing on that hillside would have recognized the gesture that Jesus, before he even said a single word, this is the berakah, the blessing which is said over food, every meal, and it is still prayed at the table today. It goes something like this. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu, Melech ha'olam, hamatzi lachem min ha'aretz. Translated, that is, blessed are you, O Lord, our God of the universe, who brings forth the bread of the earth. Now, maybe you know. Anybody been to Chewy's to eat? Yep, I'm not doing an ad for Chewy's, but I'm here to tell you. Every utensil is wrapped in an envelope, and on that envelope, this prayer is done in Protestant, in Catholic, and in Jewish. Over every meal. See, Jesus wasn't doing anything unusual over these loaves. He's doing what every head of household does for every meal in Israel. What he himself had done over thousands of times before this time. And let's be clear, this blessing is not addressed to the bread. He doesn't bless the bread. Who does he bless? Almighty God, King of the universe, maker of the bread. See, the bread doesn't become special just because Jesus says some magic words over it. The bread is already a gift. The blessing just says so. And this is why we say a blessing over our meal. It's not to be a formality that we rush through. It's a practice that Jesus modeled for us even here today on that hillside, whereby he is naming God out loud as the one true provider before we have any idea how far this provision will go. Taken, blessed, and broken. So, in verse 19, it continues that Jesus broke the loaves. Now, when we read this, we say, taken, well, that's fine, blessed, wonderful news, but broken? But loaves do not multiply by staying whole in Jesus' hands, but they multiply in the breaking. Now, I can't stand here and tell you that brokenness is good, that suffering is valuable, because it is not. But the text does not celebrate the breaking. We only know that once the bread is broken, it is a way in which you can share it with the world. It is completely unusable to the mass of people if it is not broken open. It states the fact that bread intact cannot feed a crowd. Okay? But let's be careful. We don't want to equate our brokenness, whether it is due to a bad diagnosis or a difficult marriage or a rotten job or even grief, as a secret gift from God, because it is not. I'm not saying this, and neither does this text. Matthew doesn't tell us that the loaves felt honored to be broken. No, he just tells us what happened next. The broken bread, not ruined, bread on its way to being enough for a crowd, bread that is not stopped being useful from the moment it was broken. Taken, blessed, broken, and finally, given. In verse 19, Jesus said that he gave them to the disciple, the bread and fish, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. Did you catch what was happening there? Giving was listed twice. You see, Jesus didn't hand the bread directly to the people, thousands of people. He hands it to the 12, and the 12 carry it to the crowd, hand to hand, until it reaches the people at the edge that got nowhere near Jesus. But they got the bread. You see, this giving is not a single transaction. It's a chain, and Jesus gives to the disciples give to the crowd, blessed and broken. The bread not broken doesn't do anyone any good, and it doesn't do anyone good sitting in the hands of the 12 disciples. It must be given. And the second half of this handoff is exactly what the church does through your hands. Your ministry, your care. You're not spectators sent here just to watch Jesus feed the crowd. You're the disciples. You're the ones who take what's already been blessed and broken, and you get it into the hands of somebody who never got close enough to receive it directly. And that is not a metaphor. That's what the verse in 19 actually describes as the disciples' job in this story. So finally, Matthew closes this story, this account out, with the details that matter the most for us, found in verse 20. And they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. I love me some leftovers. I really do. You see, the point here is that in giving the bread away, it did not diminish the gift. It didn't draw the supply down. It didn't deplete the supply. It revealed a supply that nobody could see while holding on to it. The leftovers are proof of God's economy. An economy that, quite frankly, runs backwards from any other economy we manage. Our checking accounts, our calendars, whatever energy you have left after a long week. Here, giving away is how we end up with more than we even started with. And the details, they couldn't be any clearer. 12 baskets left over. Not just enough. More than what they started with. In a few moments, Pastor Jacob is going to come and lead us in following what happened in verse 19, in the taking of the bread, in the blessing it, in the breaking and giving hand to hand until it reaches everyone. And this is not a reenactment we perform out of habit. It is the same sequence that the writer of the Gospel of Matthew wrote 20 centuries ago, happening again right here today with us. So today, as we come to the table, we don't come to the table with enough faith. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what our questions are, whether they've even been answered. We may not even come to the table today with enough hope, but we come with whatever we have in our hands, in our hearts, and we trust that God will take our small things, our ordinary things, and bless them. That's our lesson for today, as we are taken and blessed, broken and given. And this is a miracle. And to that I say, amen. Amen.